I want to thank Danny and Jenny again for giving us the schus to use the home, and it's a schus to have Torah in the house, and it should be a bracha for the entire family, and to bring simcha nachas and bracha into each room. And thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. And it's been a little bit of a while because of the Yom Tov and good things. So we need to spend a few minutes reviewing, but a little bit of a hakdama, a little bit of a sort of a second introduction, just to get us back into the inyan. A little bit of a reintroduction. The topic is so unbelievably important, and that's why I decided to do this as a second chelek. So the first set of inspired parenting tapes, the shiurim. And many have asked, because all of us want to work on this, and it's not just nogei, as I said at the beginning, it's not just for those who have little children now or older children. It's for anybody who's trying to be mashpia on another Jew and trying to help to teach. We're all trying to help each other grow. So before we go back into the kuntras, I'd want to spend 5 minutes with a little bit of hakdama because of the time of the year that we're in right now. And really, it's exactly what we're going to be talking about. You know that the mitzvahs that Noach received, that Noach was commanded to keep, are called the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. These are called in English they call them the Noachide laws, but that's not really an accurate translation. If we were to translate the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach accurately to English, what would we say? The mitzvahs of the children of Noach, right? Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So in English it's called Noachide, because it means the people of Noach. But in Hebrew literally it means B'nai Noach, the children of Noach, not the mitzvahs of Noach. Why weren't they called after Noach himself? It says in the Svarim that the reason that they're called Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is to teach us a very important yesod, to teach us something very, very important, and that's really what we're learning. The yesod is that the ikkar, the main thing, is not only what a person learns himself, what a person knows himself. The question is whether or not he's going to be able to pass this on to his children, to his grandchildren, to his great-grandchildren. Whether this is something which is going to be forever, or just a passing thing in this particular individual's life. And this really is the difference between Avraham Avinu and Noach. As many times as we learn this and try to understand, what is it that separates between these two great people? After all, the Torah does refer to Noach as being Is Tzadik Tamim. He was a tzadik, he was a righteous person. And yet we see that Noach was not able to establish the Jewish people. Noach was not able to create a nation in Israel, only Avraham Avinu. And ultimately, Noach himself, although he wasn't personally rejected, he wasn't able to continue with building a nation. What is it exactly, what was the characteristic that gave Avraham Avinu the ability, what was that koyach that gave Avraham Avinu, now this time of the year, that gave Avraham Avinu the ability to build an entire people that's Baruch Hashem still healthy and well and waiting for Mashiach? What's the chiluk? So I'm sure that all of you remember, and that you're learning the parasha now, and you know that Chazal use a very shocking term when they refer to Noach. Chazal say that Noach was mechusar amana, or was mamin ve'eno mamin, which literally means he was lacking in faith. He waited till the last second that it was raining to go into the teva, into the ark, right? So Chazal say he believed, he didn't believe, there was something missing. He was mechusar amuna, he was missing something, he was lacking in faith. The tzaddikim have taught that the term mechusar amuna or mechusar amana does not only mean literally lacking in faith. It says in the Megillah, we spoke about this different times in the past, it says in the Megillah regarding Mordechai and Esther, it says, "Vahi omein es hadase hi Esther." That means that Mordechai raised. He raised, he nurtured. He raised and he taught Esther. Hadasi hi Esther. He taught her and he raised her. So the meaning of Amana or of Amuna, which is fantastic, really on a deeper level, Amuna means to raise, to teach, to nurture, to educate. So when it says in the Megillah, "He Amen es Hadasi hi Esther," it means that the greatest thing that the Megillah could say about the relationship between Mordechai and Esther is that he taught her, he raised her, he educated her in the right way. Therefore, the tzaddikim have said that when Chazal have taught that Noach was lacking in emuna, it doesn't necessarily mean, although the simple pshat means in some way, on some level, he was missing the faith of Avraham Avinu. But the tzaddikim have taught that even though Noach himself was great, he did not have the quality or the ability to educate the generations beyond him to continue in his way. That's why it says in the pasuk, "Sadik tamim haya bidoro sav," in his generations while he was alive. Mechusar amana means, whereas by Mordechai it says, "Vehi oymen es hadasa," he cared for, he raised, he nurtured, he taught. He was able to give over all of his emuna, his Yiddishkeit, he gave over to the next generation. Noach, although he was a great man, he was a tzaddik in his own generation, meaning that he was missing somehow this koyach to give over his tzidkus, his righteousness, his greatness to future generations. There wasn't a hemshech, there wasn't a continuation. Avraham Avinu, of all the things that Hashem Yisbarach could have said praising Avraham Avinu, because Hashem loved Avraham Avinu, and Hashem in Navi, Avraham Avinu is called the beloved of Hashem, but in the Torah, the greatest praise and really the singular praise that Hashem has for Avraham Avinu is Ki Yidativ Lamana Sheyitzave Es Banav Es Beiso Achrav. Hashem says, "I know him. This man Avraham, he has the ability to give over the Yiddishkeit, to give over his emuna, not only within his time, with his family, his immediate family this time, but as it says in the pasuk, "Ashi yitzav es banav ves beiso achra v'shomru derech Hashem la'asos tzedakah mishpat." That Avraham Avinu was the mamen, not just the believer in Hashem, but the believer in his children, his grandchildren, and that he was the one who, because he believed in them, was able to educate the future generations in such a way where the belief of Avraham Avinu would not be confined just to him and to his immediate family, to his generation, but it's something that you and I are living with mamish to this day. Therefore, there are people who have the ability to influence themselves. There are those who have the ability to teach, to be mechanech, those in their surroundings, in their environment. And there are those that even are so great that they can educate their entire generation. They can have a shpah on their entire generation. The uniqueness of Avraham Avinu was that he was able not only to educate his generation, but to educate the Jewish people, to give over something that was so rich, so powerful, so amazing, that it's going on and on from generation to generation. V'shomru derech Hashem. That's why the mitzvahs are not named, when we want to speak about the greatness of mitzvahs, so we say the mitzvahs are b'nei Noach, that they were given to the children of Noach. Noach himself really wasn't able to give that over. Noach really wasn't able to convey the beauty of what he believed in to his children, to his grandchildren. And Lamaisa, the entire point of this kuntres that we're learning, which is really a remarkable kuntres, as you'll see, the point of this kuntres, of this little booklet, is to help us, to inspire us, and to give us specific and practical ways of guarding the shomru derech, to be shomer that derech of tzedakah u'mishpat, to be able to guard, to protect our children. And that way that we received Avraham Avinu, that we should be able to continue, that we should go right to, that we should continue to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, that we should be able to be proud, and they should be proud to be able to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. let's review now for a second what we did so far. We really had one shiur. Let's review what we did so far. I'm just going to say quickly, mamish, in 2 minutes outside, and then we're going to continue inside. We'll review a tiny little piece inside just to get back into it. Reb Tzvi Meir, the author of this kuntres, began by himself reviewing 3 points that he had emphasized in the earlier shiurim that he gave on this subject. The first point was that we have to readjust our entire perspective, meaning that the most important thing that we're going to learn more about tonight is to remember that we are shluchei Hashem, that every single parent, every single teacher, every person who's trying to be mishpi and somebody else, but particularly a parent, every mechanech, is a shliach, is a messenger that was appointed by Hashem. Chinuch is called meleches Hashem. Teaching, educating is called, out of anything else in the Torah, it's called meleches Hashem, Hashem's work. And therefore, Chazal have said that the Rebbe, the teacher, has to be like a malach Hashem. A parent has to be like a malach. And a malach here doesn't mean that we're perfect. None of us are perfect. Doesn't mean we're angelic. A malach means a shliach, a messenger. And the yesod, the beginning of all parenting, of all teaching, is when a parent, a Rebbe, a Mora, a teacher, believes that I was designated, I was appointed by Hashem Yisbarach, I am uniquely fit, and I am the one who was, from the beginning of time, chosen by Hashem Yisbarach to raise these particular children, whether it's my own biological children, or whether it's children that, through a marriage that took place afterwards, with two families that sometimes joined together, or whether it's children in the classroom, that I was appointed as a shliach, and therefore, if I was appointed as a shliach, then I have the koach of the mishalech, I have all of the authority and the strength of the one who sent me, which is infinite, which is Hashem. Therefore, it's never, ever possible that I was sent children, that children were sent into my life, that I can't deal with. It's not possible. Because otherwise, they would not have been sent to you. They were sent to you because you are the one, and perhaps you alone, from all the thousands of years since that neshama came into existence, you are the only one. The two parents, or in the case where God forbid it's left up to one parent, this is the individual of the individuals who have the unique koach to take care of that child. We're going to talk more about that. That was the first thing that he reviewed for a little bit. Then the second point that he reviewed was that there are two types of hashpo. We spoke about this at length last time and in the shul many, many times. There are two ways of influencing children. There are two ways. The first is actually teaching, speaking. That's primarily the father's job, or the male quality of teaching the material, the educational material, and giving over the do's and don'ts of Yiddishkeit. That's one method of hashpa, of influence. The second method of hashpa, which ultimately is more significant, and ultimately is that which gives the koach of Avraham Avinu to go beyond one's own children, but to reach out to grandchildren, great-grandchildren that you might, or great-grandchildren that you'll never ever meet, perhaps. That koach of hashpa is not the material that is taught, but it's the way that a parent conducts himself or herself. This is primarily the feminine, the quality of Jewish mothers. Again, both of these are needed with both parents. But traditionally, the main hashpa of the mother has not been to sit down and to review the piece of Gemara, or to go over the parsha with Rashi. Although many mothers are qualified to help their children with the actual material. That wasn't the main domain of the mother. The main koach of the mother was to establish a certain mood in the home, a certain feeling, a certain atmosphere, that avira of Yiddishkeit that is very powerful, that's very strong, and that is transmitted through the words, through the songs, through even the gestures and the looks of the mother, of both parents. This is the second type of hashpa. And the third nakuda that he mentioned, again, he spoke about this at length in an earlier shiur, the third nakuda is that the ikar, in order for chinuch to be successful, in order to be able to give over Yiddishkeit, it has to be done b'naicha. B'naicha means it has to be done in a gentle way. It can't be rammed down somebody's throat. It has to be done gently. You know that's the same with adults as with children. That's also connected to the parshas Noach, which is lashon of naicha, which has to do with Shabbos, which is menucha. But we're not going to go into that right now. but we're going to talk about this much more later on. This is, we're going to come back to this later on. This is the most important fundamental principle in giving over Yiddishkeit, but it has to take place. It can only work where you have parents or teachers who are in a state of menuchas hanefesh, who conduct themselves in a way where the student, the child, feels secure that he's in the Dal Amis, he's within the world of somebody who is living a life that is real, and not only that it's real, but there's a certain subtle quietness and comfort and peacefulness that surrounds the person, as opposed to anger, and as opposed to a person who is easily excited, and so on. We'll talk more about this. Those were the three nekudas of review that Reb Tzvi Meir had at the beginning of the conference. So we just have to review ourselves. Then on page Gimel, we learned Oz Beis. We started with Oz Beis, which is the actual subject of the kuntres, and he began with a mitzvah that's also coming up now in Parshas Lech Lecha. Remember that the subject of this particular kuntres is protecting, guarding the children on all levels. We'll see what that means. So he begins with Tzvi Meir with the mitzvah, which the Torah uses in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Torah uses the term of esbrisi tishmor, shmiras habris. Now that means guarding the covenant. Very simply put, there is a mitzvah, an actual mitzvah that's called Bris Milah. That, of course, involves the mohel with the boy. That's the mitzvah Bris Milah. But there's a second aspect of that mitzvah which applies equally to girls, and it applies even to us as we're adults. It never stops. That's as Brisi Tishmor, Shmiras HaBris, guarding the covenant, or protecting the covenant, which means that Hashem Yisbarach has given us the responsibility to do whatever we can to guard our own holiness, to try to maintain as much as possible our own innocence when it comes to what we look at, what we think about, how we conduct ourselves, and certainly when it comes to raising children. But Hashem Yisbarach gave the mitzvah of Brisi Tishmor. Remember, I think I'll talk maybe about more on Shabbos a little bit, maybe in Lech Lecha, but it's so important. There's a mitzvah, there's an ongoing mitzvah of Bris Milah beyond the eighth day for a boy, and for boys and girls, for both boys and girls. The physical Bris Milah is the eighth day, of course, and that's for the boy. But as Brisi Tishmor, guarding the covenant, means that Hashem Yisbarach has sent into each of our lives those who are zeichet to have children or to have students, also that's a tremendous chus, that Hashem has sent into our lives these very pure and precious Pikdanos, which he's going to speak about, like on loan that Hashem Yisbarach gave for 120 years, these neshamas, and Hashem has commanded us and begged us to guard their purity, to protect them from anything that could defile, that could bring any impurity into their lives. Hashem Yisbarach gave us the mitzvah to guard the covenant, not just to create or to make the cut on the eighth day. That's beautiful. That's the mitzvah of Bris Milah. All Jews, with the exception of very, very few, all Jews believe in the actual Bris Milah on the eighth day. But as Brisi Tishmor Shmiras HaBris, which has to do, as we're going to learn, which has to do with what a child sees, what a child hears, and the Bris of the Lashon, of the mouth, this is obviously much more difficult, and we're going to learn about how to strengthen ourselves in this area. So the last thing we were learning was actually on page Dalad, the second paragraph beginning with the word Yelet. We read that paragraph, so I think it would be Kedai just to quickly read it again, so we can get back into the Inyan, and to move very quickly, because at Tzvi Meir, let me just remind you that this was really a shmooze that was transcribed, and the way when a person gives a shmooze and he's not preparing something for writing, so it will sometimes repeat, because when you're giving a shmooze, a shiur, you go over the inyanim a few times, as opposed to when you write it down, it's really much more mesuder. So since there is some degree of review and repetition, so we're going to be able, there are certain parts that we'll be able to fly through, and the main parts we'll have to spend much more, the parts where he's not reviewing or repeating, we'll have to spend much more time. But remember that this was an oral, this was Torah Shabbal Peh, this was a talk that he gave Shabbos Shudas. Let's just review from that paragraph, read it very quickly. Yelad, we saw this, let's just go. Yelad, Shemavilam Osa L'cheder. When the little boy is first taken to Cheder. When he's taken to Cheder, which usually the tradition is that even if the child's not really enrolled in Cheder, but we try by the time that we give him a haircut, on that day to take him for the first time, to take him to Cheder. There are many remarkable things that are taught in the Sfarim HaKadoshim regarding that day when the child first officially leaves his home, leaves the house to go to the outside world, to go to Cheder. Otmos, a talis, there are different customs. One is that we wrap the little boy in a talis completely around, that he shouldn't, that the first thing that he should see is when he comes into the classroom, when he comes into the Cheder, he sees the olive base, he shouldn't see anything on the outside. He's wrapped in a talis. He's wrapped in a talis so he doesn't see the street, he sees nothing outside of the talis. That's one custom. These are not laws, these are customs. What are we telling the child? What are we davening for when we wrap the child in a talis? We're saying, please Hashem, help that my child should always be surrounded with pureness, should always be wrapped in the talis, should always have white garments, like the talis, the whiteness of the talis, and the holiness of the talis. My child should never see things that are bad, see things that are dangerous, should never be hurt by the outside world. That's how we begin his official life in Yiddishkeit. Official, unofficially, he's been hearing things in the house, of course, nice things and davening and olive base, but officially, his trip outside, this is his outing. And we do it with the talis wrapped around him. Zo haschola b'tahar, because we want to begin in a perfectly pure way. Like it says, when we receive the Torah, there were so many preparations. You remember those days preceding the giving of the Torah, the Jewish people were mamish and wrapped in holiness. The separation between the men and the women, and the purification, and the immersions, and the cleaning of the clothing, and so on. All of that is the same thing. That the Jewish people, as a people, were about to go to Cheder for our first time. It was our first trip to Cheder. Maimon HaSinai, receiving the Torah, was our first trip to Yeshiva. Our first trip to school, and Hashem therefore wrapped us in pureness, that we should be completely holy. Hataharu aschol, you have to begin in a pure way. Kamayim Chazal yavo tahorim v'yisasku b'tahara, as Chazal taught that the custom was always from the time we see that from the time it was already in Chazal that we begin teaching the children in Cheder vayikra. We don't begin with Bereishis. Bereishis is very, very confusing. We don't begin with the story of creation traditionally. Like many traditions, it's becoming less popular in schools because, for whatever reason, but traditionally, and it's from Chazal, we begin teaching Vayikra because Vayikra, the subject of Vayikra is purification. To be pure. And therefore, Chazal say, Yavo Tahorim v'yisasku b'tahara. Let the little children who are pure, let them be preoccupied with the issues of pureness. So what do we learn from all of this? That what Hashem wants from us, keseder, what He wants from us, shenashkia kochos b'machshove dibur o maise. What Hashem wants more than anything from us is that we should invest our thoughts, our words, and our actions l'romeim u'lahagbiyah es hashmira al hayiladim shalonu, to lift up. To elevate the level of shmirah, of how we protect the holiness of our children. Kol neshama shemegiyah la'olam. Every neshama that reaches this world. Kol neshama sheyeshon u'shaychus eleha. Then there are people who maybe the children have already grown up and they're not in the house. Or people who they weren't blessed with children. But each and every one of us has a shaychus to neshamas, to Yiddish neshamas. Whether they're younger or they're older, but particularly to younger ones. Kol ben, every son. Kol bas, every daughter. Kol talmud, every student. Kshan neshama shelo megiya la'olam, hi nikiya lagamrei. Think of that. You have to think of that. Really, again, I'm going to be touching upon touchy subjects, but those of you, I mean, you're familiar, you know that I don't really hold back. I mean, you don't know how much I do hold back, but I try to be honest with you. And at the same time, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But if a person would think the first time, not when you're going to Cheder, the first time that a parent decides that it's now, I now need a break and I have to put my child in front of the television set, that decision that's being made, And how does that work out with this sentence? When that soul came to this world, it was perfectly, perfectly pure and clean. That's how Hashem Yisbach sent you the neshama. Clean. Pure. And we say it every single day. Hashem, the neshama that you gave me, it's pure. Haneshama nekiyah lagamrei. Completely clean, completely pure. And each day we get a new chance to try to strengthen this. Every day we say neshama neshasatabi, and even if we have made mistakes with ourselves and with our children, it's never ever too late to start again. And one should never be misyayish, never give up. But we have to know this, that Hashem sent the neshama perfectly clean and pure. And Hashem is personally asking each and every one of us. As Chazal have taught us, that before the neshama goes into the world, Hashem is Baruch, Avinu Shemayim mevakesh memenu, Hashem is Baruch asks, Hachzirehu b'taharu, please bring back this neshama to me. It's on two levels. One is the parents, and the other is the neshama itself. The Hashem is Baruch begs the parents, I'm sending you this neshama in order to accumulate all kinds of amazing schusim that can never be accumulated in the world above, but only in this world of free choice and struggling. I'm begging you to send the child back in such a way that he resembles most and even greater than the one that I sent you. And also Hashem asks this of the child himself, of the neshama, it's not a child at that point, of the neshama, before the neshama enters into the body, before the soul descends into the guf, into the body, to do whatever you can to come back in such a way that's pure. In the same way that I sent you wrapped in talus of pureness, I want you to come back to me in such a way, which is how a person, a man goes back in the talus that he wore during his lifetime, which is also very symbolic, right? That when a person's 120 and he leaves the world, so he leaves in that talus. And everybody leaves in the tachrichim and the white garments, returning to Hashem in those white tachrichim, the shrouds. And the white shrouds is our way of saying, Hashem, I hope and I pray that somehow I was able to retrieve that whiteness, that pureness, that white talus that I was wrapped in when you first sent me to this world, that I could return to you in such a way. And that's the tahar that takes place. The 120, the purification of the mace, of the person who has passed away, by the Chavar Kedisha purifies the body, and the body is then wrapped in that shroud, in that white garment, and in the case of a man, in the talus. Hashem says, I want you to guard that nikiyus, that pureness with which this neshama was sent into the world. The same way you came into the world in this way that was pure and clean, so too Hashem asks each and every one of us that when you leave the world, it should be in such a way, in a way that is clean and that is pure. With the MSCH Dargus Patahar Kamash Chazal HaKadoshim at the bottom of the page, of the right hand column, there are different levels of pureness, as Chazal has taught, Shiesh Bechina Shal Tahara Keben Shana. There are different levels of pureness. We see this in Rashi, when Rashi talks about Sari Meinu, that even though she was so old, she was 127 years old, but she had that innocence of a child. So there are different levels of pureness. There's Tahara Keben Shana, there's the pureness of a child that's a year old, Shiesh Bechina Shal Tahara Etzel Yelet Shamaschil Ilmab. Then you have that level of pureness of a child who begins to study, begins to go to yeshiva. Shubachinis yavo tahar that we spoke about when they begin to learn. Even as the children grow older, you know that when the Jewish people were ever, God forbid, in danger, the most urgent thing to do was to gather together the children that they should say tehillim, to gather together the children that they should learn. The hevel peh, and I explain this. I believe I explained this by the Nilas Achag. I explained this to the men, that the Indian of reading Kohelis on Sukkot is such an amazing thing. There are many questions about that. Why do we read Kohelis? It sounds like it's such a, you know, it's a really hard, it doesn't sound like it's filled with simcha, that's for sure. And we read Kohelis on Sukkot, which is what? The most joyous time of the year. So I was explaining the last week that after Simchas Torah, that the beginning of Koheles is Havel Havelim Amar Koheles, right? Seven times Hakol Havel. Havel means like Nairishkeit. Koheles is saying the whole world is Nairishkeit. Seven times Havel Havelim Havel. Havel also means breath, right? So one of the tzaddikim thought that after a whole Elul or Shani Yom Kippur and Sukkot, every Jew is like a little child, is pure again. We all did tshuva. And we're all once again like little children in Hashem's eyes. Therefore we read Koheles, which says, Hakol Hevel. Hevel means that everything is that pure breath of a child, which Chazal say, that in the merit of the Hevel Pihem, of the breath of little children who are davening and learning, the whole world is sustained. So when it comes to Sukkot, after all that we've done, after all that we went through during the time of Shani Yom Kippur and so on, it says Mitzvah Yom Kippur, so we are able to reach a level where Hashem sees us once again as His little children, who have that pureness of, in their breath. Havel Havolam Hakol Hevel. The whole world is sustained by the Hevel, by the breath, by the vapor, so to speak, that comes out of the mouths of Hashem's children who are learning and who are davening. This is already when the child is a little bit older. He's not the little boy or the little girl that just begins learning. It's called the Hevel Pesha Ein Bochet. The breath of a child, the Torah of a child is so sweet and so powerful, and the davening of a child is so powerful that because it's pure, it's completely without sin. V'yesh b'chnishol tahara k'meshekosim tzaddikim sha'ad esrim shanadain hu b'chlal hevel she'ein bochet. This is becoming harder and harder nowadays, right, to hold on to this. But we see in Chazal that in those days, at least, until 20, there was, generally, until 20, there was this ability to hold on to that innocence of a child, which nowadays, you know, you could talk, I'm not saying from God forbid, but from our children, but on the street, b'chlal in the world, children are growing up very, very, very fast. Even in our homes, they're growing up much faster than they used to. V'afilu shiyeh ha-matzav eich shiyeh z'adayin matzav shel nekiyas v'tahara. That Hashem is Baruch created the children in such a way that they have this remarkable ability to be clean and to be pure. V'atafkid v'hashlichus shelanu hu biyachad. This is our responsibility. This is our tafkid as parents, as teachers. Our responsibility is that, and the shlichus, and we were sent here, lishmor es hanekiyas v'tahara shel kol echad mi'itanu, to protect, to guard, to watch the pureness of each of the children. Kulanu shutfim, and we're all partners in this. Kol echad mi'itanu mekabel kaychus atzumim v'chelik shelo b'shmira. And we have to believe that each and every one of us has received unbelievable kaychus to fulfill our responsibility as shomrim, as those who are supposed to protect and to guard the child. There's so much, unfortunately, that's taking place in the world that has caused little children to be terribly, terribly defiled and abused and hurt, and whether it means in their own home or on the part of people who they trusted, teachers or religious figures, personalities. There's such a horrible fear of this, and it's so sad and it's so ironic that society seems to be completely obsessed more than ever before with protecting children, which is wonderful. Society should be obsessed with protecting children, and yet the same children who they're so concerned with are daily subjected to the most horrible, horrible, obscene and vulgar way of looking at life and thinking and living with the music that they hear and the books that they're reading and the magazines and the television and the internet. It's a very sad thing that children are certainly very confused by the mixed messages that they're getting. But the Torah doesn't give any mixed messages. The Torah says, this is our responsibility, this is our achrayus, and each and every one of us has received the kaychus to protect, to take care of our children. It doesn't only mean physically. Kol of every father, kol aim every mother, kol melamed every teacher, menal every principal, mashgiach, rosh hakarlo, rosh yeshiva. Even the boys are older, and the girls are older. A magid shiur, someone that says a shiur of them. Kol mashpia acher, and anybody who's mashpia on somebody else. I spoke this past week. Shalashudas time. I don't know if any of the men had spoken to their wives about it, to their daughters, about trying to become more involved in partners in Torah. To try that each and every one of us, each and every one of us should try to have somebody in the connection to be made in the shul. David Levy is in charge of it, but to try to call up Torah Mesorah. Partners in Torah is a wonderful thing. Partners in Torah means that there are thousands of non-affiliated Jews, non-religious Jews, who want to find out more about Yiddishkeit. And they're asking people to sign up, men and women, women to learn an hour a week over the phone with a woman, a man to learn an hour a week over the phone with a man. If it's long distance, they're prepared to take care of everything, that there should be this hashpah from one Jew to another Jew. And as many times as I've spoken about this, so many people told me, but Rabbi, I can't teach. How much do I know? I don't know anything. It's not true. You have no idea. But besides, I'm not talking about the material. You don't realize, you and I, how much as religious Jews, how much we take for granted now Yiddishkeit, how much pureness, even though we think, and it's true that compared to earlier generations, we're so completely messed up. But, Baruch Hashem, we're way ahead of the outside world. And I mentioned this a number of times in earlier Shiurim, but I've always been amazed by that. Over the years, so we had many, especially in the earlier years, we had all the time in our house. The house was filled with people that weren't religious coming for Shabbos. And they had heard all this year about how Shabbos is like this and Shabbos is like that. Beautiful, everything is wonderful and peaceful and quiet. And then they come to the house and Davke, just when he's staying there singing Shalom Aleichem, somebody calls on the phone, somebody, it's not for you obviously, but some phone call. And then the kids are fighting and this one turns over their glasses and no one throws a glass. And you think that after Shabbos, you're 100% sure that this person will never step foot in an Orthodox shul, into an Orthodox home, will not have to have that, nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. And 99.9% of the time, it's just the opposite. You'll get feedback to say, I never saw anything like it. It was so beautiful, the family and Shabbos. And my wife and I would always, they were in our house? It was that Shabbos? I don't know that. I don't remember that. But we don't realize, Gevalt, how beautiful our lives are. We take it for granted. It's terrible that we take it for granted. Our lives are so infinitely more blessed than the outside world. Our homes are so infinitely more pure than the outside world and the street and what the street brings into the homes nebuch that are not homes of shmiras hamitzvahs. So just something like that, you have no idea what kind of a mashpia you could be if you would call a Jew once a week and talk about Yiddishkeit and learn something simple, to learn a safety. You have no idea the hashpah that you could have on somebody and how much of our own innocence compared to the outside world. I know each and every one of us, we're all walking with peklach, but compared to the world, we are like little children, Baruch Hashem. We're like little children in the world. People in the outside world wouldn't be able to believe. They think that we're crazy. We're like such sweet, pure little children compared to the entire world. Even after all these years, it's true that we're not like Azadis and Babis, but still, there's no comparison between us, Baruch Hashem, and the outside world. Even though our enemies would like to paint a picture otherwise and to give the impression that, they were just like them, it's not true. It's not true. Baruch Hashem, Klai Yisrael is filled with those Jews who are Shem Eterim, we're filled with Kiddush and Tahara. We're struggling with it, but it's infinitely greater than what's outside. So he says, every teacher, everyone who wants to be mashpia, the chol gil shaloyah, whatever the age is, not just the little kids. Mikabel kreches b'li shia. If you make that phone call to someone and you make that hookup with another Jew, Hashem gives you the kreches, He gives you the seichel of the mind and of the heart to be mashpia, to be a good shomer, to be a good friend, to watch over that person, to give good advice. You won't even believe it. You won't even believe it because you'll think to yourself, I never had such good advice for myself. I never had such a straight seichel when it comes to my own life. But when it comes to another Jew, Hashem gives siyata, that Shema Hashem helps you, that you should be able to give to one of his children, especially to one of his children who, for no fault of his or her own, was lost to Yiddishkeit. It wasn't the fault of what happened in the last generation, or two generations ago. Hashem's Baruch wants his children back. And he gives each and every one of us the ability to be mashpia, a teacher, a parent. Hashem is chalishing to have his children back. And he gives each and every one of us unbelievable kaiches to be mashpia Yiddishkeit to our children, to other Jews, to people we meet in the street, to people that you meet at work. You know what kind of ashpo you could be at work? Many of you I know are at work. The way that you dress, the way that you talk, the way that you conduct yourself, to be ehrlich, to be honest. Those of you that are in a place where there are other Jews who did not have the fortune of being raised with Yiddishkeit. What an unbelievable hashpa, what an unbelievable inspiration a frum person can be, to be mekadesh shem Hashem, that person will want to live a life with more shmir, to be more pure and to be better. And that's even if you don't consider yourself to be a gifted teacher. He's not talking about being a good teacher. He's not saying that you have to be able to say over Ramchals and Sfas Emesis and all kinds of fancy tires and to go with books and to be able to explain, you know, how do you know that God exists and that the Torah is given in Har Sinai. Not talking about that. Just by who you are, you have no idea. And you know that I have, over the years, I've heard so many stories about people whose lives were completely changed just to be... I heard this last week. Somebody told me that there's a person who became Shomer Shabbos with his entire family that became observant Jews. And when they asked him why, they said that he had a rabbi living next door to him someplace. And this rabbi went out of his way to always say good morning. And he saw the way that the rabbi spoke to his wife and children. And he thought that there's a different way. There's a better way to live. And that hashpo was hashpo that came from the way that he conducted himself and the way that he behaved towards his family and how friendly he was and how warm he was to a Jew. We thought that he always heard that Orthodox Jews will have nothing to do with people who are not religious, which is, of course, which is ridiculous, which is not true. And it's so easy to be mashpia. Tahara, Kedush and Tahara to other Jews. And Hashem gives you Siyaita Deshma. Hashem helps you, and you'll do things and say things that you yourself never would have thought you were capable of, because Hashem is helping you to what? To help one of His children come back to Him. And I think of this all the time, and I over the years, this is something, you know, my wife always says I should write things down. I never write anything down, but really it would be one time I could fill this whole room with books if I would write down like different things over the years that happened when I was someplace and I didn't prepare properly, or I remember I once had to go, I gave a shiur, I had to go someplace to give a shiur. And this was a shiur. There were around 1,500 people that came to this, and I was very, very busy with something around the children. And I said, all right. I took along a paper with some notes that I had, and I figured that, you know, I think they called in the world wing it, something like that. They have a lotion. So I figured, you know, all right, you know, I'll work it out. I didn't have time that day, and I was coming. I came to this huge place where there were almost 2,000 Jews, and I opened up my safe. I always take my papers and say, I opened up my safe and I had the wrong paper. And I get up to the microphone and there were like 20 tape recorders, right? And I'm standing over there, and I open up the safe. And I see this page, and it's like, you know, it's like about Tu B'Shvat or something. I don't know what it was, a whole different thing. And I'm just, you know, then I was sitting there. It looks like I'm like you know, some deep thought, which I was. I was like, how do I get out of here? And you know, I was all verschwitzt and gewalt. What am I going to do? So I have things, you know, I have like think backup stuff all the time in case of an emergency. You always have to have backup, but it was advertised like a whole special thing, you know, to do, and people came for this inyan, for me to talk about this inyan. So then I said, I stood there like that, and I said, you know, Rabbi Shalom, I said, not like this, I said, please, you know that I'm a Rosh, I'm a Chayit and a Peshaya, but these Jews, they gave up their time, they left their homes, they came out in the cold, because they want to be better Jews. Please, Rabbi Shalom, for their sake, it makes no difference to me if I look like a fool, but just that they should go home with something that makes them want to be better Jews. And you know what? It was the best year that I ever gave in my life. It really, it had nothing to do with me. Or else it would be silly for me to tell you such a mice. It had nothing to do with me. It was, you know, I started to talk like just like this, about the Inyan. And of course, some things, and then somebody asked, and the person who asked got us all into this whole thing, and it was an amazing, amazing night. It went way past the time, and I was talking afterwards to people. It was amazing. See, I did the Shema because the Rebbeinu Shlom, you see, and afterwards, I remember when I was driving home, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I was driving, and I was saying, no, Rebbeinu Shlom, I felt like Ahavas Olam Ahavtanu. How great your love is for your children. It's unbelievable. The Rebbeinu Shlom loves Jews. That I was able, even though I'm so unworthy, to be a kli, to be somehow a vessel, to give over to these people some Jewish words that they were waiting for, that they needed to hear. And I thought, I didn't prepare any of this. I didn't think of it. I said something there. Somebody asked me something, a very interesting thing. And I said over, I remember I said over Maharal that I had seen like 30 years before, and I had forgotten about, I didn't even think about all the years, and then just, it came into my head, this morale. And it was just what that Jew needed to hear, because he told me afterwards, and we spoke about it, and then on the phone later on, it's all siyata d'shmaya, the Rebbeinu Shlom is mashpia good to Jews, and wants Jews to be inspired and to be uplifted. You have to want that, you have to believe that, you have the kirchus, and that's what he means over here, when he says that Hashem gives you kirchus atzumim, unbelievable kirchus, beyond you. Hashem's Baruch gives you to help, to protect his children, to give over to the children. And that's what he says, that we should be able to fulfill our shlichus. As Hashem said, this is your job, raise these children, this child, this student. This is your job, protect the pureness of this child. And Hashem gives you the courage to do it. So when we talk about the television, a person says, I can't do it, especially a new mother. It's the hardest thing in the world that no man could possibly understand, or nobody who's never had children could understand, or even people who had children a long time ago might not remember that the difficulty and the loneliness of a woman, especially if there are two little ones who are close in age, what is that like to take care of the two little ones? And the easiest thing in the world is to just put a child in front of a machine and to rely on the machine, that the machine is going to somehow distract the child. You don't mean, God forbid, chas v'shalom, none of us ever means to bring tumah to the child. We just need to take care of the other kid. But we need to just have sometimes a break. And who could tell a mother who's day and night taking care of children and who doesn't have a moment to breathe? It's the most wonderful thing. You just put the kid in front of this machine and you can take a nap. or you could at least, if you don't fall asleep, you could just close your eyes and put your head back for a few minutes, and it's quiet. And you know what? And when you come back and you take the child looks exactly the same as when you put him there. He looks the same. Everything's okay. Maybe the diaper is a little bit lower, but pretty much things look okay. Everything looks all right. And you check the kid. You check the eyes. You check the everything is fine. But the emes and knemius. If it were possible to be able to check with Hashem's eyes to see whether or not that child was the same way before you went and after you came back, is it the same child? It's not so pashut. When it comes to the music, when it comes to things and the things that children see and hear, and even the kind of chevra and where they are and who you're putting them with, you're making a decision. We have to daven our hearts out that they should be with the right friends. Even if you put them in the best place, you're always in danger of a child, God forbid, with a mixing with somebody who's going to be a bad hashpa. But l'chadchila, you try to put the child with children who you hope are going to be a good hashpa, with families that you hope will be a good hashpa. There'll always be problems, but you hope that it'll be good. But how do we explain to Hashem after 120 years where you made a decision l'chadchila to put the child among children, that all of them should be well, but you put the child with children who are perhaps hearing things and seeing things, and are sharing them with your child, which Hashem doesn't want your child to receive, and that's your achrayus. That's a parent's responsibility. But it's the hardest thing. It's because why? Because for a mother to be vigilant 24 hours with a child, especially when they're two little ones, that are three, that are children that are close in age, it's so easy to have this dimion, this fantasy that everything is fine and that nothing is bad. A lot of nice people, and everybody always says, I myself, That's a very popular sentence. I myself, I watch television. Is there anything wrong with me? And no one's going to say, are you kidding? Is there anything wrong with you? What do you mean is there anything wrong with you? Of course, there's a lot of stuff wrong with you. No one would say that to you. But what do you mean? You know yourself. What do you mean is there anything wrong? I also did. You also, that's right. You're having a lot of tsaras. But anyway, ain't it diamond? Because the television 30 years ago is not the same thing as the television now. And it's ain't a diamond. It wasn't holy then either. But the question of how much harm, you know, what was going to come out from, you know, from the beaver or from I Love Lucy, you know, some of, how much harm was going to come out from, as opposed to now, like any commercialist of you, obviously, you can't even if you leave a boy by a television to watch a ball game, the baseball game is okay, but in between and what goes on, it's impossible to know. So it's so easy for a parent to use that. I was just listening on the radio today. There's a report that just came out about the damaging new information. New studies were made about the damaging effect of children who are growing up more and more without being interactive, without being themselves, but just being subjected to somebody else's thoughts and feelings. And these are people who are not really concerned with tumma. They're just concerned with the child's well-being or psychological health or intellectual well-being. But we say every single morning, neshama shesati b'taharihi. Think of it. Sometimes it could be that you have the little one sitting by the television while you're saying the brachas, elokai neshama shesati b'taharihi, and you go and your kid's standing there by the television, you're saying elokai neshama shesati b'taharihi. I mean, the purpose, obviously, not the purpose of the bish this inyan and to dwell on the inyan, but sometimes we just not thinking straight. A person has to think what it means. So that's what he says. We have tremendous karkas. That means that even that mother who's so overwhelmed and tired and is so chalishing for a few minutes quiet, Hashem gave her the karkas not to have to do that. Not to have to put the child in front of the television. There's another way. You might not have that 15, 20 minutes that you desperately need. You might not. But the answer is not to subject the child to that, which is the opposite of your responsibility, which is basically which is neglect of the responsibility that you have as a parent, as a Jewish mother, to be mashpia only that shmira for your child. Let's just another 2 minutes. The next paragraph on the bottom. V'avinu shebashamayim. We go past the heading. We just go into V'avinu shebashamayim. Rotsu shenizkor keseder. The Baruch Shalom wants us to always remember Shahnishamas HaKadoshis, that the holy Nishamas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosen Lanu, that Hashem Hashem Baruch gave to us, these Nishamas that Hashem Hashem Baruch gave to us, K'ma Shekosim HaBel Zerov V'Oit Tzadikim S'chusim Agen Elenu, Shehem B'Bchinas Pikodon. I mentioned this before. Pikodon in Halachi, it means when you give somebody something as a security, that afterwards has to be returned. That's called in Hebrew a pikad. Ubebchinas yiduus ze harei hapikadon hayakar v'hakadosh v'hatahor b'yoseh shi'esh ba'olam shakadosh baruch hu nasan lanu. There is no greater security. There's nothing that is more pure than this neshama that was given as a pikadon. Remember, and sometimes we don't remember that we don't own that child. We don't own the child. The same way, according to halacha, we don't own our own bodies. Halachically, it's forbidden for a person to injure himself, right? You're not allowed to injure yourself. So why can't the person say, whose business is it? It's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. This is a very common thing in the world, in the secular world. It's my body. I do whatever I want with it. That's not true according to halacha. According to halacha, it's not our bodies. Our bodies were given to us as a pikadon. Our bodies were given to us as a security. In other words, that we were given to watch this, to take care of it, and because there are certain things that we have in our relationship with Hashem to take care of over those 120 years. And in order for us to be able to accomplish that, Hashem gave us this guf, gave us the body. And the body has to be cared for. It does not belong to us. It belongs to the Baruch Shalom. Therefore, a person is not allowed to injure himself. A person is not allowed to inflict wounds upon oneself, which, by the way, I'm sure that you all know, is something which is unfortunately and very frighteningly increasingly popular among people who are distraught over emotional problems of wounding oneself, of inflicting wounds upon oneself, all kinds of very, very bizarre things that take place. Where a person can't, where the relationship between the neshama and guf is not a healthy one, or you have people that are starving themselves, all kinds of problems with anorexia, all different inyanim, where the pikadon, where that gift of the body that Hashem gave us to watch, and the body is not being taken care of properly, it's being abused with the wrong foods, with alcohol, hashama, drugs, and so on and so forth, smoking. The body was given to us as a pikadon. So if the body was given to us on loan from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, Allah has come of a come, how much more so the neshama was sent into this world, the neshamas of our children were sent to us, and we don't own the children. We were made responsible for caring for this child. We are taking care of the child. And the Shem Yisrael gave us the child in such a way where we would want to care for the child more than anybody else would want to care for that child. Because when the woman gives birth to the child, when these parents have the child, or in situations, of course, it's not the same, but sometimes where children come into a family because of a marriage, a second marriage, or if there are children that are adopted in the family, whatever it is, that's also, these things are all mina shamayim. But when Hashem Baruch gave you that child, it was in such a way that you would feel the most amazing kesher to that child. The most amazing kesher, the connection, the deepest connection. That's because Hashem wants us to do the best job we can to protect them. That's why he, let's just finish this paragraph, and that's why he says, "Avinu shel shemayim nosen l'kol echad koyches atzumim." Hashem gives each and every one unbelievable koyches lishmoras hapikadon, to protect the pikadon. According to halacha, you are responsible to protect something that was given to you to watch as a pikadon, as a security. You're not allowed to use it for anything other than what it was given to you for. It has to be taken care of. Not only does it have to be taken care of, but what's interesting is that if, according to halacha, if somebody does something to the pikadon that he shouldn't have done, and as a result of that, it's lost or it's ruined or something, the din of the Torah is, it says in the Torah, Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. What does that mean? Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu? You have to pay back double, right? We have this concept of kefil, of double, in other areas of halacha. Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu, which the tzaddikim said, you know what that means? That if in some way you or I were negligent in taking care of that neshama that was sent to us, then instead of crying and worrying about it, you know what we have to do? Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. You learn twice as much. You daven more. You kiss twice as much. You hug twice as much. Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. If in any way we were negligent in our jobs as parents or as teachers, the Torah says, don't cry about what happened. That's chafal. The main thing is, Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. Double up. More ahava. More love. More Yiddishkeit. More davening. More Torah. More to spend more time with the child instead of correcting about what was. Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. Because Hashem gave us to watch the pikadon. And this is the din that we have. And we have tremendous karchas to watch the pikadon. The Chazal HaKadoshim Kachendachav of the Chaviv, sometimes he puts, you know, he left the Yiddish, he wanted to keep the Yiddish, and that you see that the Chazal were cooking with this Indian, cooking, they were burning with this Indian throughout Chazal. What? The Chaviv is shal shlich ha-mishtalech u-moysenav shal b'shlichuso. Chazal had the greatest words of praise for Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. You know why Chazal loved Eliezer, the servant of Avraham? There are many reasons, but the main reason that Chazal heaped so much praise upon Eliezer, Eved Avram, was because he did exactly what he was told to do. He was Neman. He was faithful to the one who sent him. Therefore, the greatest need of a Jew is to be faithful to the shlichus that Hashem sent each and every one of us to raise this child in as pure and as holy a way as possible. There is no greater praise for a Jew than to say that he was an Eved Neman. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a faithful, loyal servant. He was a good shliach. That the Rebbe Shlomo could say, I sent that neshama to you to take care of that neshama, and you did a good job. You did a good job. You sent that neshama back to me. You sent that neshama back to me the way that I sent it to you. And therefore Hashem Yisbaruch made such an amazing connection between parents and children that it's never too late. I'll tell you an amazing thing. I'll end with this. It takes mamish a minute. I saw this a couple of weeks ago. You heard of Rabbi Lapian? You heard of Rabbi Lapian? Was one of the biggest tzaddikim of the last generation. Rebellion was, of course, first in Europe, and then he was in England, and then he eventually was in Eretz Yisrael in Kfar Chassidim, up north near Haifa, in the yeshiva in Kfar Chassidim Mashgiach. He was a big tzaddik at Kaddish. He wrote the Sefer Lev Eliyahu. those are his talks that were put together in the Sefer Leivaliyah. I saw Meis the Rebellion told over a Gevaldige Meis. Rebel Lapian said that he heard a Meis from Tzaddikim, that there was a situation where, because of a war that was taking place and the difficulties, the parents, these Jewish parents, had no choice. They felt they had no choice but to give their child over to a non-Jewish family. Unfortunately, this happened many times in the Holocaust, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Yidden that are either lost or whatever happened. So this child, and afterwards they couldn't find him, the parents, whatever, these people who took care of him, the non-Jews, kept him away. And he was raised in the church, and he was a Jewish boy in a very, very, very good head, and he ended up becoming he ended up studying for the priesthood. He became very, very chashuv in the church, and this was the time of the Inquisition in Spain, and he became very chashuv in the church. And he was actually, Rebellia said that when he became a priest, he was made one of the head inquisitors. These were terrible, terrible people that were causing a lot of terrors for Jews. You know that the Jews were not allowed to keep mitzvahs, and that many Jews were keeping them secretly. And one of the main jobs of these people, of these priests, was to, so to speak, bring to trial, to cross-examine those who were accused of keeping their Yiddishkeit, of observing mitzvahs. So this Jew was the most powerful inquisitor at that time in Spain, who sent many Jews to death, many, many Jews to death. And he knew of his background, but he had no connection to it, and he was very strong in the church. It happened once that there was an old man who was brought to him, and that this old man was seen by other people, in the early, early morning. They saw him wearing towels and tefillin. And he was brought, that was against the law, and he was brought, and ultimately he was brought to this inquisitor, and the inquisitor, this galach, this priest, he went through the whole case, and he decided that the old man has to be taken immediately to be executed, and he used to torture them to death and execute people. And he read the papers, and he took out the pen, he put it into the inkwell, and he couldn't sign the paper. His hand was shaking, something was crazy, and he went to lie down a little bit. He tried again. The kids retried three or four times, and each time he knocked over the ink. He couldn't get his hand steady, and he didn't know what was going on. And he had this thought, and he asked the old man, because of where he heard, where he came from, he asked him some questions without going into all the details, which are really very remarkable. He asked him, did you ever have a child that was given over to the Gentiles and so on? It turns out that was his father. Rebellion said there's a mice that he heard from Tzaddikim. That was the boy's, that was the Galat's father. And they cried and were hugging each other, and he left the church and he came back to our people. And Rebellion says there's a Kabbalah, he turned out to be an Olam Gadol, turned out to be a great person. And what it all began with was that he couldn't sign a paper to send his father to death. To die. He couldn't do it. Even he didn't know who, what, where, what is this? There's such a teva that Hashem was matbiyan a parent and in a child, such a kesher, his kashrus that's filled with life and filled with love, that it wasn't possible for him to do that. Even though he was a sworn anti-Semite and had done this a million times, he couldn't do it. That's the hiskashrus that Hashem created between a parent and a child. And if that's the case with such a person, Allah has come when it comes to good parents and to good children, that Hashem's Baruch gave us such kaychus to have a relationship that we should be able to be the ones who can carry out the shlichus to take care of the children, to raise them to be God-fearing, elohim. So, Mitzvah Shem will continue next time.